Had a week in Cuba. Wow. A week in Cuba. So I am pumped up and ready to go this morning, especially based on the fact that it is Vision Sunday. But first, I want you to take a walk back in time with me this morning, okay? Walk back in time with me to September of 1839 to a little stacked log building called the Old Republican Meeting House, where 33 men, women, and children are gathered. A group of pastors has come and they've asked questions of this group and said, "What do you believe about Jesus? And what do you believe about the Bible?" And the people are waiting with horses outside, snorting and stomping. The people are waiting for these pastors to tell them whether they can be a church or not. And then those pastors, that group comes back in, and because of their answers, the pastors look at them and say, "You can start a church. You're able to start a church." And with overwhelming joy on their faces, Harmony Church of Christ at Old Republican is founded. A new church with endless opportunities to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for the next 14 years, this church will worship and come together at the Old Republican building before they get enough money to build their own wooden frame building and donate that old log building to an African-American Methodist church. From its beginning, brothers and sisters, Harmony Baptist Church has been about the kingdom of God rather than the HBC kingdom. Because of their foresight and obedience to God, we are here today, 180 years later, worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But not just us, Harmony Methodist, the likely continuation of that donated church building, meets and God is lifted high. We have a history of being kingdom-minded, not just in South Carolina, but further into the world. Move forward with me in time to 1871. Just after the Civil War, when Pastor Robert Thomas baptizes a priest into the Baptist faith. And he, along with a family, the family of Green Ferguson from Harmony Baptist Church, they get on a boat and they sail to Brazil and establish the first Baptist church in Brazil. Today there are over 600 Baptist churches in Brazil. From Harmony Baptist Church, there has been kingdom growth over and over again. These men and women that got here, that gathered here, involved in mission work and church planning, and they're some of the ancestors of people gathered here today. Because they saw the need for the gospel of Jesus Christ to reach as far as it could, knowing that they couldn't reach everybody from Little Harmony Church, but they could help others do it. On our stroll, let's go 7 years more into the future to 1878 and the founding of First Baptist Church, Rock Hill, South Carolina. A gathering of believers come together at Harmony Baptist Church, and under their leadership, this new mission outpost is formed and founded in 1878, a church that now has over 2,000 members. Pastor Joseph Edwards, one of the founding pastors there, said, "Harmony Church took a deep interest in the Baptist work in Rock Hill, and without their cooperation, we could not have begun as we did." In its first 30 years of existence, Harmony Baptist Church helped plant 3 churches and start a Baptist movement in Brazil. The impact of those 33 people in an old wooden meeting house is still resonating in the world today, 180 years later. Can we be that Harmony? Can we be that? Absolutely we can. Because it's as if these people that met, these 33 people, took the Bible seriously, right? I mean, when those first 33 people met, they had no idea what God intended to do with them over the next 30 years. They just wanted to be obedient to the commands of Christ and not have to ride a horse 20 miles to go to church. But isn't that what God does? He takes obedient men and women, what the world says is weak, and he does something incredible with it. He changes the world. I mean, look at Acts 2. The Holy Spirit descends on believers gathered, and they begin to speak in tongues. These men that are gathered here, somewhat lost and without their physical leader, they've watched him ascend to heaven, and they say, now what? The now what for them was that they would stand in obedience. As Peter stands and proclaims the gospel, and the Holy Spirit moves, and that day 3,000 people join the kingdom of God. None of those early disciples were church strategists or church growth consultants. They had no idea of the power that God was going to unleash through them. They were simply obedient to what he said. Exactly the same way these 33 people in 1839 were obedient, in the exact same way that God is calling us to obey in 2019. As we look at our history from 1878 to 2010, Harmony Baptist Church grew where they were planted. New buildings, new ministries, growing its impact into our local community. There were mission trips and service projects and new programs that started. The membership increased and decreased at varying times over those 132 years. There were times of great joy, but also great hardships and difficulties that godly men and women led us through. That is our history. That is how we began, and it is who we are. Harmony Baptist Church was, is, and always will be a church of action. A church that embodies James 2:17. So also by faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. We are a church of work, not to earn our salvation, but because of our salvation. And that is a rich history. In the last 10 years have been just as rich. From 2009 to today, 205 people have joined Harmony Baptist Church. 98 through baptism and 107 through transfer of letter. We've been on mission trips to Haiti, Nicaragua, Puerto Rico, the Dominican, Alaska, and Montana, and as far as Taiwan. Impacting the world. In 2010, the church planting at Harmony Baptist Church resumed as Harmony supported the founding of Branded for Life Cowboy Church, which is still meeting today and has grown to a self-sustainable with God's provisions. Our mission has been to grow in Christ and reach the lost, and that is always going to be the mission of our church. Yet we cannot allow ourselves to become a church that just does things that Christians like to come to. We are not here for entertainment. We are here to refresh and enable and equip the saints to do the work of the ministry in the world. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but our baptistry has been dry for quite a while. We've been growing recently, but a lot of our growth is in transfer, not transformation. And I love everybody that walks through the doors of this. I love to see new people at Harmony Baptist Church, but we have got to reach the lost. It's why the church exists. The church was made for this mission, for God's mission. And I've told you the statistics before. As we sit here today, 9 out of 10 South Carolinians is not in church this morning. 9 out of 10. Brothers and sisters, we live in a lost world and it's getting worse. You'd have to live under a rock to not see that. Yes, we're growing at Harmony Baptist Church, but we cannot grow satisfied. Because Christianity is declining in America. And it's not about how many people come to Harmony Baptist Church. It's about how many souls Christ saves through the work of Harmony Baptist Church. Through your going out and sharing the gospel. Through your obedience to His commands. That's what it's about. I don't desire for us to become a mega church. You know those churches of 2,000 where there's a camera and it broadcasts your face to these other centers of worship? I don't desire that. The camera adds 10 pounds and I'm big enough. I don't desire for us to become a mega church, but I desire for us to have a mega church impact. And with real disciples, those that follow Christ, that are willing to die to self in order to reach this mission, we can do that. Regardless of the numbers, God uses the obedient to impact the world. Are you ready to be used in that way? And how can we not want to impact the world? How can we, as holders of real truth, as believers in Christ, not desire that God's glory be increased in our world through the salvation of the lost? It's never about numbers and seats. It's about souls in heaven and our obedience in that endeavor. The Bible writes for a reason that 3,000 became part of the body of Christ at Pentecost, so that we can rejoice that we have a God that does such things. And it is with that focus on reaching the lost and growing in Christ and the Word of God as our foundation that we look to the future of Harmony Baptist Church and what God wants us to be. Our preferred future, our vision, our why of existing. And this is it. Ryan, pull that slide up for me, please. Harmony Baptist Church exists to make disciples of all people in all places to the glory of God. For you visual learners, there you go. And this is a big vision. But it's what Harmony Baptist Church has a long history of doing. It's not something new. And I know it may sound crazy to think that we can impact all people in all places, but we have a God that does crazy sounding things all the time. Read the Old Testament. Floating axe heads, talking donkeys. He does things we wouldn't expect. And he tells us that. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. He says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I don't know that we can accomplish this vision. I know I'm not smart enough or strong enough to get us there, but I know God can. He is all that matters, and I'm going to follow him until the wheels fall off. Because this vision is not mine. I didn't go hide in a cabin for 3 days and meditate or have this dream about this vision. No, I went to the Bible and I wrote down every verse that I could find about the purpose of the church. About why the church existed. And then I narrowed it down to one statement with the help of with our leaders. We narrowed it down to one statement that captured them all as best we could. I said, "No, this vision is not mine. It's God's. But I am all in on it." Because this vision, it gives us a lens through which we can view all that we do. A way to measure each ministry, each decision, and say, how does this help us be the church that God wants us to be? And personally, individually, to look at our lives and say, how is what I'm doing? How am I doing in helping me play my part in the vision of Harmony Baptist Church? And there are two primary scriptures encased in this vision. The first is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching to observe all I have commanded you, and I will be with you always until the end of the age." Those men and women who started Harmony Baptist Church in 1839 didn't do it on their own. God planted this church here, and He planted us here in order to fulfill the Great Commission. And it isn't about a select few men and women going out and making disciples. If you're here today, it doesn't matter how old you are. This is about every man, woman, and child standing on the front lines against the darkness of the world and saying, "Jesus loves you. Repent and follow Him." It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to embolden you and empower you to stand before those far from God, to stand before them and tell them that this world is broken, but that Jesus can put it back together again. He will put it back together again. It is each sinner saved by grace here, remembering the forgiveness of their sinfulness. Them understanding who they were before a holy God and sharing the same grace that they experienced with a lost and dying world. Helping those that are lost understand who they are, who we all are, sinners deserving death, as the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And telling them what that means in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." But then encouraging them and exhorting them with the second part of that scripture, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That is the precious message that each of us has been given, this precious message of life that begins the person on their journey as a disciple of Christ, that we, sinners unclean and unholy, can be saved by a supremely holy God. And every believer here owes that to a lost person out there. That message that we, me, you, all who are made new, we are His. We are His. And we have to carry that message everywhere, but not just carry it, share it. He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." That's all people in all places. Where we live, work, play, learn, travel, eat, sleep, wherever we go. We go intentionally with the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to make disciples. And that truth, that message, that obedience is the only way that Harmony Baptist Church can fulfill this vision. It's the only way that we can be what God is calling us to be. And we don't do one iota of it for the name of Harmony Baptist Church, for it to be lifted up. None of this so that we can feel good about ourselves or people can say how awesome we are. We do it all for His glory. Which brings us to that second main scripture in our vision, Colossians 3:17, where Paul writes, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." When we work in Jesus' name, it is an acknowledgement that the work is not about us. It's not even in our strength that we operate. It's all about Jesus. And when it's about Him, He gets the glory, as He should. So what does that mean for us? It means if you're a teacher, you teach in Jesus' name. If you're a banker, you bank in Jesus' name. Coaches, coach in Jesus' name. If you're a mom, you mom in Jesus' name. Dads, likewise. Students, you do your schoolwork in Jesus' name. Live your life. Do your job. Raise your kids. Take out the trash. Cook. Play golf. Drive your car. Whatever. In Jesus' name. That is God's will for your life. And that is God's will for our church. That we live for something bigger than ourselves, than our story, than our glory. Live for Jesus. So that when people look at what you're doing, Jesus is seen and celebrated. That is why he saved you, so that you could point others to him. And that his fame, his glory meaning, as John Piper writes, the infinite beauty and greatness of God's manifold perfections, that glory would be seen and heard more and more and more. Because God is the only one worthy of glory. If we can embrace God's vision for this church, for our individual lives, and begin in earnest, we can help turn the tide of our culture. If each of us, every soul saved by Christ in here, if each of us can become men and women that seek to make disciples of all people in all places to the glory of God, then this culture that sees what I'm saying today as either irrelevant or extreme can be changed. Not that we can change the evil in people's hearts that say children can be murdered in the womb up until birth, but we can introduce them to Jesus, the Savior, who will give them a new heart, a heart of light and eternal life. And if all the 280 members of Harmony Baptist Church live this out, we will make a difference in the world. We will impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and for his glory. And it is my earnest prayer that God will bring revival among us to accomplish this vision. And that may sound strange in a church that's flourishing that I say we need to bring revival. But revival doesn't mean that something's wrong. In this case, revival means, as the great theologian J.I. Packer put it, the accelerating, intensifying, and extending of the work of God. Bring revival, Lord. The accelerating, intensifying, and extending of the work of God. May you be glorified in us. We have accomplished a lot as a church in the last 10 years, but I'm not satisfied, and I pray you're not satisfied, because there's a world of lost sinners for us to engage with the gospel. And we need an outpouring of the power of the Spirit to bring this revival, just as those at Pentecost felt. Not that we'll speak in tongues, but then in the Spirit's power, we will work hard to make this vision reality. Pray for revival in your heart and in the hearts of the others gathered here. Because we need everyone on board and walking in the power of the Spirit. We need the body of Christ to act as the body, with each part doing what it's gifted to do, so that this vision can be reached. As Ephesians 4:3 tells us, we need to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We need to be unified towards this vision. If 280 people are all pulling their own way, we will not accomplish anything. But if we unify behind the blood of Christ and the call to go and make disciples of all people in all places to the glory of God, we can make a difference. But we need everybody to be all in. That pains me to say as a South Carolina fan, but it's the truth. If you don't know, all in is Clemson's mantra. Easy. But if we want our work now to be an inspiration 180 years from now, like those that came before us, where people can look at us and say, God sure used that little church in the middle of nowhere for His glory, then we have to be all in. All people, all places, all glory, all in. What does that mean? I got four things that that means. Somebody that's all in will raise their kids in homes that train them up in this vision and sends them out to be warriors for Christ, so that they will live their life for God's glory, not their own. Why do I start here? It's because we didn't get here overnight. Our culture didn't become what it is overnight. It's going to take generations for us to turn the tide. And that starts with that child in your home, in your responsibility, in your care. Our impact will far outlast us if we teach our children why God has put us here and give them the tools to live out their faith and this vision. And that means that you have to model it for them. And it's never too early to get them all in. If you'll buy them a jersey, you can read them the Bible. Someone that's all in, number two, someone that's all in will dedicate their time, talents, and treasures to us becoming a church that makes disciples of all people in all places to the glory of God. Find somewhere to serve. This vision has no room for spectators. It's all about getting out on the front lines or serving behind the scenes to help those on the front lines. In small group, we're going to talk about what your spiritual gift is. Find out what God has gifted you with and use it. Use your financial resources to tithe to the church, but also to support those organizations that the church lifts up as worthwhile. It doesn't have to be much. Every bit matters. Harmony itself can't reach all people in all places. But we can support through prayer, finances, and labor those who are reaching the people that we can't. I said in our town hall meeting, Ben's got a partnership that we're starting to form with a church in Detroit. We can't reach urban Detroit, but we can support the reach of those people through our prayers and finances and labor. Number three. Someone that's all in will give up their life, their wants, their desires, and their plans in order to accomplish God's will. Number one reason people say they don't share their faith, they're scared. You know what? It's okay to be scared. Give it up to be obedient. Give it up to be obedient. You may plan to retire and live out your life in rest and luxury at the beach. Don't waste your life on seashells. You retire and go to the beach, you go and you spend your days doing something impactful for the glory of God. You may be in here and you're working towards that day where you get to retire. Slow down. See the people around you. God's put them there. God's put you there. They need you. They need the gospel from you. And number four, finally, somebody that's all in supports the church towards this vision. It's easy to say that'll never work. It's hard to go all in and work hard so that it does work, so that it is accomplished. If you see something that we're doing, a ministry, a committee that needs to change in order to align to the vision, speak up. But if you want to complain, just to complain, hush up. Because our unity in this is paramount to its success. We've identified six core values things that our church will embrace or has to embrace in order for us to reach this vision. Those six are Jesus, prayer, authentic relationships, authentic community, growth, stewardship, and love. We have to be that church. We have to embrace those things in order to make this work. God can use Harmony Baptist Church to change the world. It may take hundreds of years, but we got to start right now. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about the strategy for making this vision come to fruition. We're going to talk about those core values and what that means to how Harmony Baptist Church operates. How we accomplish this vision. So as you look at this and as you sit here today, are you willing to be a church that makes disciples of all people in all places to the glory of God? Because we need it. All people, all places, all glory, all in. Let us pray. Father God, as we have gathered here today and we have searched your word for what this church should be and will be, Father, I pray that the hearts of those that are gathered here are drawn to follow that. Father, that we will be those disciples that teach our children to be disciples, that teach others to be disciples, that make disciples of all people in all places to the glory of God. Your glory, Father, is what we seek, not our own. Let us die to ourselves in order that we lift you high. Father, move us as only you can. Use us as only you can. And Father, we will surrender to you in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.